I am Frank Vaughn, and it has been an interesting week, and it's March 28th, 2025, by the way. And we are going to get back to a more normal style of video right now and probably continue that way. Some people don't understand why I examine certain subjects or certain organizations. It's because I have to. I am motivated from within myself in a desire to pursue the truth about everything. So let's begin to try and understand what it is I'm all about. To begin today's examination, I'm going to go to a tweet I wrote about 12 hours ago, which has almost no engagement whatsoever. And I think there's a perfectly logical reason for that. In politics, there are a lot of things that are true at the same time that partisans wrongly treat as mutually exclusive. Thus, reality confounds them into persistent emotive cognitive dissonance. Now, admittedly, that sounds like word salad, but I don't know how else to express that thought. And the one response that I got, you're an idiot. Oh, my God. It symbolizes the problem that captures it perfectly. I'm so glad that person decided to chime in. Because a lot of things that we talk about on this channel seem to confuse people because they say, well, how can you say this one thing and then say this other thing that seem contradictory? And they're not contradictions when you look at them without political lens caps clouding your vision. Now, one of those things is, I'm just going to go through some recent tweets. We got to go back down here because this is starting out. What I wrote on Twitter is, these are some of the most dangerous, destructive, and foolish words I've ever heard uttered by anyone running for prime minister. If we allow Carney to win, the West must leave this country. America is not our enemy, and I firmly believe that. Let's listen to Carney.
We will need to ensure that Canada can succeed in a drastically different world. The old relationship we had with the United States, based on deepening integration of our economies and tight security and military cooperation, is over.
Talk about earning the moniker that I've given this guy, the Grim Reaper. This idea that he, as an unelected political leader and somebody running an election, can just declare the longest standing security and trade partnership in maybe the history of the world over is, I mean, literally the most destructive and dangerous thing I've ever heard. And then this morning, Donald Trump posted, I just finished speaking with Prime Minister Mark Carney of Canada. It was an extremely productive call. We agree on many things, and we'll be meeting immediately after Canada's upcoming election to work on elements of politics, business, and all other factors that will end up being great for both the United States of America and Canada. Thank you for your attention to this matter. So, which is it? Is the relationship over, or are we going to fix that relationship and further integrate? Is this all just rhetoric? Because this is what I hate about politicians, and I've said this before, they cater to you and your information environment. So if the information environment in Canada is full of propaganda and factless to a degree that defies human imagination for anybody that's reasonable and understands things, they'll just cater to it. They'll tell you whatever they will tell you whatever they think you want to hear so that you will vote for them, which is why Carney is memeing Trump when he signs fake executive orders, but at the same time, he's pursuing a policy or pursuing a position of maximum angst against the United States. Meanwhile, he's supplicating himself when he phones up Donald Trump. Canada has no leverage, that's a fact, but none of your politicians are going to tell you that. None of your politicians are going to tell you that we depend on the United States. I can tell you that because I'm not in politics. If I was in politics, I'd tell you that anyway, and I probably wouldn't get elected. So the other thing that comes out of this post by Donald Trump is that he seems to be looking at Carney's victory as a fait accompli, which means he's signaling that Polyev doesn't have a chance. What is this? So after I posted Mark Carney's words, I also attached a comment that says, please, Pierre Polyev and CPCHQ, counter this insane message. You can put Canada first without aggravating our best and most reliable geopolitical partner. Counter Carney on this insanity. And of course, Pierre Polyev didn't do that. My message to President Trump, the world needs our products and our expertise. If you, Mr. Trump, don't want them, the rest of the world does. There's oceans between us and the rest of the world. It is not that simple. The pain that both these men will visit upon Canada if they have their way and they get the trade war that they want, because we are losing perspective here. Tariffs, reciprocal tariffs, are in response to tariffs we already charge the United States. It's just a tax. Canadians love taxes. Conservatives created the GST. The liberals created the carbon tax. We love taxes. We love charging tariffs to everybody else to do business here. Reciprocal means matching. Now, that is true in and of itself. But here's something that's also true. Jasmine Lane, she says, Trump says he's doing reciprocal tariffs. I genuinely don't know all the ins and outs of every industry. So what would be the end result if Canada lowered their tariffs on the USA so that the reciprocal was either zero or something insignificant? A collapse of some of our industries, particularly agriculture, because the Americans have a climate advantage. They can produce multiple crops in a year, whereas a lot of Canada is locked into one crop, a single crop, and sometimes that doesn't even work out. So our tariffs are designed to protect our dairy industry, for instance. We already have enough food insecurity in this country, and I don't mean people who can't afford to eat, people who are starving. I mean, we don't produce enough food. We don't store enough food value to get through our winters. We import a lot of stuff to get it done. Our tariffs are designed to protect our capacity to produce food. Now, there's flaws with that. Again, the theme of this video is supposed to be that there's a lot of things that are true at the same time, because truth is complex. It's also changing. It's also malleable. What is true one moment is not true the next. So another issue I have is when politicians come out and they're just like, I've never changed my positions. You shouldn't vote for a politician that's never changed. Because a real leader, and that's what people think. That's another thing. People think they're voting for leaders when they vote for politicians. Typically, politicians are not leaders, because leaders change as the facts come in. They update their worldview on an ongoing basis, which makes it very hard, ironically, for the public to want to support them and vote for them. It's kind of a crazy set of circumstances. But if the truth that exists at the same time is that reciprocal tariffs from the United States aren't some kind of attack on Canada. They're actually fair from their perspective, because paying those tariffs to us to protect our industries does present an indirect subsidy. I don't understand why this is so confusing for people. If they're locked out of our businesses, but we can compete with them, so they're not allowed to come in because they have to pay too high a rate to come in and do business here, but we, at the same time, export to their markets and do business there because the tariffs are lower, that's an unfair advantage. So what Trump is doing is actually fair. It's disadvantaging us. If we dropped all those tariffs that he's talking about, it would crush several sectors of our economy. Those things exist and are true at the exact same time. So if you are for Canada First, we can't afford to drop these tariffs because they protect our industries, which are disadvantaged by our climate. But at the same time, you shouldn't be judging the Americans for wanting to charge reciprocal tariffs in light of the fact that this government that is still in power today, and that for whatever reason, the polls seem to show Canada shifting towards the Liberals. It blows my mind that we could possibly buy the Trudeau swap and actually do this again. But if we actually do this again, it's the same governments, the same ministers, it's the same MPs who have spent years insulting the Americans, insulting Donald Trump, and insulting the Republican Party. So I don't understand what the confusion is. The United States is justified in their position on multiple fronts. Now, there's a lot of confusion out there, or faux confusion, that just doesn't make any sense to me now. Alex Zoltan is somebody I like. He does great journalism. But this take, I'll bet the farm that not a single person in the U.S. who found themselves down on their luck was blaming American-Canadian trade deficit for their misfortunes. I like Trump just fine, but this Canadian trade war narrative he's driving is unhinged, absurd, and ridiculous. He's not driving that narrative. It's actually Canada that's driving that narrative. How many breaks has Donald Trump given Canada since he announced he was going to do reciprocal tariffs? Now, again, there are two sets of tariffs here. One set deals with the fact that Canada has a massive drug problem, which has been highlighted by me. The receipts have been put on it in books by Sam Cooper called Willful Blindness. We have a foreign interference problem. We have a CCP China Communist Party problem. They have great influence, own a large part of our businesses, and even the land under our feet. We have open ports where precursor ingredients come into this country, and they are mailed. They're compiled and assembled in labs into drugs, and then mailed across this country completely secure in our mail. And I think I'm going to have something coming up with an expert on that. Stay tuned for that. One set of tariffs highlights the fact that Canada has become a winter narco state, like Mexico North. That's a very real thing. And then the reciprocal tariffs are in response to the absolute disrespect that Canada pays the United States. They allow us to apply tariffs which protect our industries. They have awarded us that in negotiations, and that's fine. They buy a lot of our stuff. They do us a service by being our best geopolitical trading partner. But on the flip side of that, there's the, it's actually not the flip side, it's just alongside of that, is the security aspect. Canada has no military. The reason we have no military is because of the presence of the U.S. military. We made a decision decades ago to start deconstructing our formidable, once formidable, National Army and Navy. And we have. We have denuded it. And furthermore, in recent years, we have turned it into a woke DEI clearinghouse of nonsense where we program our troops to think that trans rights are human rights and gays are people too. We do all this virtue signaling, but we don't focus on actually defending the nation and doing something productive with our military. We just denude it. And we do it because we live under the umbrella of American security. And the whole while, they disadvantage their own businesses in our markets to the advantage of Canadians in their markets, in excess of $200 billion a year in trade deficit. You can apply whatever figure you want. A lot more capital is coming into Canada than is leaving Canada. So there's an advantage there, and they've allowed that. They have allowed us to shirk our NATO responsibilities and to denude our military and take advantage of the strength of the United States. And while we're doing that, we insult them. We invoke them with invective, particularly this administration. We signal that they're the great evil in the world and that we need to move away from them and we need to further integrate with other nations in the world, including China, who executes our people and who charges us tariffs all the same. There's something not right here, and I don't understand the confusion. Because I'm not confused about it. I can see very clearly the American position and why they're doing these things. What saddens me is nobody seems to want to educate the Canadian public, whether it's Polyev or Elizabeth May or any of the politicians or most of the premiers. They just want to demonize the Americans. They don't want to tell you the truth. They don't want to educate the Canadian public. And this is just a road to perdition. And it's not just drugs and reciprocal tariffs. There's also the human trafficking problem. There is the fact that 500% more people on the terrorist watch list infiltrate to the United States through Canada than infiltrate through Mexico, even though the Mexican border was wide open and far more people were crossing it. These are the nuances that are all true at the same time. Far more people went into the United States from Mexico than came in from Canada. There were far more drug seizures on the Mexican border than from the Canadian border, but that has nothing to do with how much tonnage, we're talking tonnage, of drugs flow between Canada and the United States. It's actually insane because our border is wide open too. Here, we'll do this quick. I've had this sitting here on my desktop for the longest time, and I don't know if Steve Wallace is going to want this attention, but he's going to get it. This is a stealth camper guy. And he likes to camp behind signs and behind donation bins, and he'll camp in the middle of roundabouts and it's a stealth camping video channel, but here he is, stealth camping on the U.S. border. It's wide open. There's nothing illegal about what he's done, but it's just as easy to pop across that border in a million locations because it's huge, it's undefended. And people do it all the time. You don't have to dig tunnels. You can just walk across the border, and there's a good chance that you won't get caught. Now, this video is from 2 years ago, before this problem was highlighted, while all the trafficking was happening, while all the smuggling was going on between the two, while all the humans were crossing one way and the other way, wide open, that's when this video was shot. This is a problem that Donald Trump has now highlighted. But back to the point of this video, talking about things that are true at the same time. So, I write, there is a concerted, targeted effort to undermine the CPC from all sides, and while Carney is promising the end of geopolitical reason, there is no room for ideological purity testing. If the machine wants Polyev out, I want him in. Carney is Canada's last gasp. This is true. At the same time that I can write this, Carney says it's over between Canada and the United States. Polyev seems to agree with him. Jagmeet Singh's NDP is wrecked. So no one cares, but they still agree. Greens copy-paste the above. They all think reciprocal tariffs, equal to what we charge them, represent the end of days of crimes against us. Meanwhile, Bernier pimps himself out to Americans, throwing Canada under the bus just to score points against the CPC. It's all disgusting. This country's politics are a gong show, and they don't represent me very well at all. So, it is true that I am unimpressed by the Conservative Party of Canada on multiple files. When it comes to Ukraine, every single time one of our politicians says the word Slava Ukraini, it translates into glory to Ukraine. It was popularized by a man named Stephen Bandera, a Nazi collaborator who was more than happy to implement the Holocaust, not just against the Jews, but against the Poles in Western Ukraine during the war. They popularized the phrase Slava Ukraini, and they also used a salute which people might recognize. That went along with the saying Slava Ukraini in Ukraine during the rise of the nationalists during the Second World War. Like, so every time our politicians use that phrase, they're actually echoing a popularized phrase by fascists, by nationalists, by Jew killers, by Pole killers, by supremacists. We kind of lost the script. And for those who say that's ancient history, Frank, that fascists are gone and now the Ukrainians are under an unjustified, unprovoked attack, that's what all of our politicians and our premiers, way outside their purview, way outside their lane, everybody wants to signal solidarity with Ukraine, but nobody wants to talk about what actually went down in Ukraine before the war started. For 8 years, there was an assault on the people of Donbass and an attempt to erase their culture and their language and their lives by the Ukrainian government, and the West said nothing. The idea that the war was unprovoked is a complete and total myth, and nobody's telling you that. And the idea that the fascists, the nationalists, the racial supremacists in Ukraine don't have a large role in rounding up the population, because I showed on this channel how they kidnap young men and young women off the street, give them the bare bones of training, and they send them off to the front lines to die. The ones that are doing the gathering, the ones that are savagely kidnapping these people and sending them to die, are the nationalists, are the fascists, are the ones with racial supremacist ideology, the people that we are supporting in Ukraine, that Zelensky is just the public figurehead, a useful excuse because he's Jewish or half Jewish, depending on who you're talking to. There's a thriving industry in coffin lids to bury the dead in appropriately fascist coffins. Do you understand that in the midst of war, in the midst of travesty for the Ukrainian people, what you're seeing, how much capital is tied up in just the ability to produce this coffin lid? Now, I'm a Conservative Party voter, and I'm not really holding my nose when I go to the polls because I think that's virtue signaling too. I'm voting for them for practical reasons. I think the right deserves a chance in this country. They are either going to flounder and fail because the system will oppose them, the unelected part of our government, the bureaucracy, the Senate, the judiciary, the unions, will oppose them when they try to do good things, or they just won't try to do those good things. Either way, my objectives are furthered by a conservative government. A Carney government makes things very easy. The moment the vote is official and he becomes prime minister, I get involved in a separatist movement. That may happen no matter who becomes prime minister in this country, because the West has been disadvantaged by Ottawa, not the Americans. And Ottawa wants to destroy our economies in their fight against the United States. And it's disgusting, and it has to end. And if the East wants to elect Carney, well, then you're going to face the wrath. Because I've talked to a number of very smart, well-placed people, and they're ready. I've had many conversations over the last 6 years about the moment we are about to arrive at. I've warned about this moment. We are almost there. But back to the theme again, which I think I've done a really poor job staying on point in this video. Several things can be true at the same time. They're not mutually exclusive. The Conservative Party of Canada is not perfect. Doesn't mean, in my opinion, they're not worth a vote. The PPC is not a legitimate alternative. And one of the interviews that I think you should watch is the one on screen, and this is by Carla Joy Treadway, and you can find it via my Twitter page. You have to scroll down a little bit. It's not far. She sits down for this shocking interview with former PPC candidate Craig Martin to discuss what really happens behind the scenes during election time. The PPC, as a matter of policy, opposes common sense things that could actually grow the party, like using volunteers to door knock. They don't do it. They oppose it. They don't produce guides on how to set up effective EDAs. They pick candidates like Jordan Harris, who is a self-identified ambivalent PPC candidate for Medicine Hat, Cardston Warner. Watch me get assassinated for doing what's right. No one's going to assassinate you, but nobody cares. Nobody cares. You don't even care. Can't wait to see the Liberals win next. Guy loves it. He actually reveals what the PPC is all about. Now, the allegation that Carla Joy is hinting at is that the PPC is controlled opposition. I know it didn't start that way, or maybe it did and it was kept secret from all the initial people who came in 2019, myself included. I can't say they're controlled opposition, but they sure as hell don't want to grow because they don't do common sense things that leads to growth. They want to stay exactly where they are with 1% to 2% support, lots of donations coming in, Maxime Paid sitting atop the heap, and most of the time down in Florida. This is also their candidate. Maxime is fighting against the century-old uniparty establishment, which he was part of, which he comes from. Proud of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, proud of the Foreign Investment Protection Act, critical of Justin Trudeau for not throwing the doors wide open to CCP Chinese capital. And he finishes with, "You're an asshole." A lot of these guys conduct themselves online in this way. They name call, they demean, they besmirch, and somehow they feel like they're going to be able to convince people to vote for them. Everything they do defeats their objective, if they had the objective, of winning elections. And no leadership, not Maxime Bernier or their most quote-unquote prominent candidates, will ever criticize guys like Jordan Harris. They don't want to win. They just want to harvest donations, and maybe it's more malicious than that. Maybe they genuinely, as he indicates here, just want to give the country to Mark Carney and the Liberals for a fourth term. Here's another winning PPC account. Pierre offers us nothing, and we will cost the CPC again in vital ridings. Proud to be able to help defeat the Conservative Party and give this nation to a globalist like Mark Carney. And they parade around as the anti-globalist party. Now, being critical of the PPC doesn't automatically mean that the CPC is perfect. And I've encountered this before where I say critical things about Pierre Poilievre and the CPC, and people say I must be a PPC supporter. This is what I'm talking about. these ideas. Telling the truth, which is always multifaceted, does not equate to having to support the other guy. And we got to, and maybe it's actually an impossible goal, because nobody even seemed to understand or interact with that tweet that I made about these things not being mutually exclusive, and how, like, politics is the death of reason. I want to be a voice in this space that just criticizes everybody equally and celebrates things when they're good and condemns things when they're bad. Particularly during election time, everybody just wants to play politics. But even outside of elections, sorry, I just got distracted by a wave of hunger. This whole starvation mode thing sometimes takes your attention away. You got a little hormone called ghrelin. Ghrelin is what makes you feel hungry. And if you don't eat, ghrelin will just go away. And you'll be able to resume your normal life as long as you're hydrated and full of salts. But I digress. Ghrelin just decided to show up for some reason. At any rate, politics takes away our ability to just tell the truth about how things are, which is why I don't really want to get involved in politics. I could see myself getting involved in a separatist movement under a Carney-led government, because I feel like that would be essential to the survival of the land that I live in. People keep telling me to move. I'm not moving. I'm not leaving the country. I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to try and do what's right by it. There are great people that I have met in this land. We're starting to make new friends here. We're setting down roots. And this is my country. And the country is the people, and the country is the land under our feet. The system that we're governed under can change without betraying the country. But I think, as a starting basis, we need somebody who can just try to pursue the truth and tell it, even when it's politically inconvenient to do so. As I've said, I'm a Conservative Party voter, but I'm not exactly happy with the CPC, but I'm pragmatic, and I can see that they're the best choice of all options for all outcomes. There's no guarantee that under a Carney government, there's this theory out there that under Carney, the country will disintegrate faster, and those who want to break the country up want to vote Carney in so that the country can break up faster. There's no guarantee that happens. Carney's just as likely to make a deal with Donald Trump as Pierre Poilievre is. At the same time, if he can mollify the Americans, if he can somehow mollify the sentiment to separate, he can also further lock us down into things like universal basic income and other socialist policies, the emergencies that he's talking about. We may not get liberated. We may not achieve our freedom. If he is successful in integrating us with Europe and China, it's kind of game over for freedom in this country. One of the greatest things, one of my primary motivations for voting for the Conservative Party of Canada, is I genuinely fear for my ability to speak under a Carney-led Canada. I think they'll shut us down. I think they could remove X. There's a lot of horrible outcomes to another Liberal majority. And if you believe, as many who support the PPC do, that we need another right-wing option here in Canada, you're not going to get it. You're not going to be able to build it until the current right, which enjoys close to 40%, maybe more, support from the Canadian public. Because I'll tell you, when Pierre Poilievre goes to Surrey and draws thousands of people to a rally, and Mark Carney can't fill a local cafe, it's difficult for me to believe in these polling outcomes. But we're going to find out in a month, and we're going to keep telling the story. There is a huge populist sentiment behind the CPC. Maxime Bernier, if you love him, he couldn't fill. He can't even fill a bar. No one cares. I care about the people who are going to get roped in. That's why I do what I do. I don't know if they're of any political consequence. They, for all intents and purposes, they are ineffective, but they scam people out of their hopes and they scam people out of their money by believing, and it's a scam because they believe in the false promise, in the message, which doesn't mean anything. They believe in the platform, which is just words published on the internet. Nobody owns ideas. A lot of people express those ideas. Many of those ideas are expressed through the Conservative Party of Canada. But if you hate the CPC, you want them to win. Because until they're discredited in the eyes of the nation, you can't build anything. A new political movement requires them to fail. And that would create the space to create something new. Anyway, I've rambled on enough. I'm Frank Vaughn, and I will see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.